Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Start from verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth. Go on. He that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heavens, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I often used to ask myself, what is ministry? I used to ask myself that question. And I was telling someone yesterday, as I was seated with them, that back when we were in school, even when we'd break for holidays, I was born again back then. I got born again in S1. Eh? And I remember we used to spend hours in prayer. You know those overnights, right after prep, 9:30, all the way up to 6 a.m. We were praying with all our strength, but were ignorant of what exactly we were doing. Huh? So you would pray, rain or heat. I remember there was a basketball court just aside from our dormitory, and it was dark. And you know when things are dark, at night, stories always come from there, what? Their graves, there, what? Some of you know, eh? Anyway, so we used to go that side, deep down into the darkness, to prove that we're indeed soldiers of Christ Jesus. And we would pray in the darkness, but you keep looking around your shoulder, just in case. And we spent hours and hours and hours, and that's what you call innocent prayer. It has a value. Eh? Innocent prayer actually has a value. Actually, any type of prayer has value. Innocent prayer, where you're doing something, you don't even know what it's doing to you, you don't know what it's doing for you, you just do it. So, with that zeal, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm not even sure that I've gone back to that type of prayer, because now I pray with knowledge. And when you're praying with a certain type of knowledge, when you enter prayer, you know exactly what it is that you want, and you'll know, and if you've grown, you will know when you've got it. Let me tell you something. Especially if you're called to be an intercessor, every form of prayer has volumes and intensity. There's a volume of prayer, there's an intensity of prayer. There are things that cannot be sorted by volume. They're sorted by intensity, and intensity has nothing to do with length. It has to do with depth. And I used to tell people that the longer the private prayer, the shorter the public one. The shorter the private one, the longer the public one. You will come, get up and walk, get up and walk, get up and walk. One man comes and says, you're healed. Praise the Lord. So we used to pray, even in our innocence, we would pray. And I was telling someone yesterday that I am certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that who I am now is founded on the foundation of those prayers I made, even in my innocence. There are many times I could have fallen off. Many, numerous times that I could have fallen off. But the foundation, you know, we'd pray in tongues, you don't even know what you're saying. But you don't know that your prayer is saying, irrespective of circumstance, may he stand. And you know, you're praying. Anyway, back to my point. So I used to ask myself, what is ministry? Because we would break off from school and go and pray. Again, at home, our parents would think we have a problem. Eh? Huh? Depending on if your parents are Christian or so on. And so I was saying that I used to pass by nightclubs. Huh? We used to go and do ministry in some of those nightclubs. So Jesus loves you. As someone, boom, 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 boom. Who's got the keys to my Bima? Boom, 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 boom. You know? And you know, yes, Jesus can save you even with the keys to the Bima. And we would preach and preach and preach and constantly put our heart into something. Until one time, when I reached campus, I began to realize something. That for all the prayer and for all the preaching, very few circumstances were changing. Why didn't the nightclub close down? If we circled it day and night, bind you, close. Why did it close down? Why is it that in the presence of myself, if I was a man of God and others that I was with, people that spent time in the presence of God, why is it that perversion in my hall on campus would increase instead? Why is it that being a man of God and a minister, even while I was on campus, my roommate knew that I was a man of God. We used to have cell in that room. But he tells me, let me know when you're done. Then he says, just give me about 1 hour. I'm coming with someone. In the same room. Now you guys are just like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Eh? So I asked myself these questions. I asked myself, surely if I'm a man of God, surely, until the Lord began to deal with me and bring me to the understanding of what ministry actually is. You see, we are a family. The moment you get born again, we are family. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 says, for this reason I fall on my knees before God the Father, from whom all families in heaven and on earth receive their true name. There's a family in heaven, there's a family on earth. All right? Now, together, that is one family. So you are part of a family. Yes, you are part of a family, but you are born into a kingdom. Now, pay very close attention. Family includes brotherhood, fatherhood, spiritual lineages, forgive one another, love one another. The kingdom includes those but emphasizes the understanding of laws, the functioning of how the kingdom works, the laws, and also emphasizes that you're a servant, even though you're part of a family. It's the reason why the Son of God, the head of the family, would come on earth and say, I do nothing lest I hear my Father or I see my Father do. So, while you're part of a family, you're inadvertently part of a kingdom that has laws that must be followed, and not the Ten Commandment laws. Because I know someone here. Those are not the ones I'm referring to. Huh? There are laws that have to be followed in order to get certain results, but also, you must understand that you're a servant. Being a servant has degrees. We die gradually until the scripture that says it's no longer I that lives becomes true. All right? Now, last week I emphasized that God has dimensions. There's a wisdom dimension of God, a love dimension, a power dimension, call it whatever. When a man seeks God, he can capture a dimension and become the emblem of it. So whenever you look at them, you see wealth. Even when they don't have money. It's why a person can have no money in their pockets. They've captured a dimension, and when you try to convince them they're broke, you say, what? There's a quote I love. Someone sent me a meme, actually, where someone is saying, for example, if you're poor. No, even in the example, I can't be poor. You understand? Even if it's an example, I can't be poor. Find something else. All right? Someone captures a dimension of God, which brings me back to the question I asked God. What exactly is ministry? Ministry, in its true sense, is when a man or a woman, a child of God, captures a dimension of God and expresses it. Amen. It is deeper than words, deeper than singing. In Acts chapter 1, the writer of Acts says, I write to you, O excellent Theophilus, to give an account of the things Jesus began both to do and to say. That is ministry. It's not separate. You see, we live in a... Let me tell you something. We live in an age that is interesting because there are many ministers across the globe, thousands, everyone doing their own thing according to how they're called, some having no clue what they're doing. All right? Thousands of ministers across the world. But Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, as we've read, he says the fivefold is for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of ministry, equipping you. Now, hear me carefully. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul wrote, he's writing to this church and he says, we not only ministered the gospel, but we imparted the very inside of our souls. Also our own souls. We didn't just preach gospel. I got my soul and put it in you. Bam! That is ministry. With all the thousands of ministers, millions of ministers around the world, you go on Facebook and there's constant unspoken competition. Who has the most likes? Huh? Who has the biggest congregation? Who has the best pictures? Huh? Huh? But you guys know this stuff happens, right? Huh? And so it's constant bickering. They say, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that. Even with congregations, when a man of God falls, we, the church, is the first to castigate the man. And yet when a brother falls, pray for him. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? The church is the only group of people that attacks its own soldiers. When the guy is down, just now you see, you add on together with the non-believers. Add on. You add on to it. And we should understand, most people do not understand what's going on. There are two kingdoms that are at war. Two kingdoms are at war. It's more than just a man falling. There are two kingdoms at war. Now, Paul says that when we minister, when we impart of our souls, when I minister unto you the gospel and impart of that which God has done in, when I get an expression of God and pass it on, you are equipped for the work of ministry. And I'm going to explain what that is. You're with me so far? All right? In the Garden of Eden, let me take you there. Let me take you there quickly. When I used to ask God what ministry was, I used to ask what is ministering. And I began to realize, because I used to ask questions, and I asked God a lot of questions. Why is it? Why do we minister? Right now, why am I ministering the message that is focused in the area that it's focused on? Why do we minister kingdom and spirit life while someone else, a minister called by God, is ministering, let's say, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And someone else is ministering, you know, the devil, when the devil comes at night, you know? And so I asked myself that question. There's a person who came to me and said, an unbeliever, and said, you guys always talk about your God and how great he is, but you're divided and confused. And he pointed to a group of people in South Africa, some pastors, who had made people eat grass and drink petrol. And he said, he brought me the pictures and said, is this right? And I answered, you should do your due diligence. Because before we answer that question, we need to ask, when the person ate grass and drank fuel, were they healed? Because if they were healed, it changes the dimension of the answer. Because now we're no longer just dealing with trickery, it's spirit. It's about determining which one. You're with me? So don't just come to me. First, find out, did this person get healed? If they got healed, Then we're dealing with spirit. Now, I began to realize that what causes the differentiation in ministration, it's one gospel, one truth, and the Spirit guides us in all truth. But the Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, it says that the word of God is purified seven times. And I've said the reason why scripture says that is because there are degrees of revelation to every scripture. Minimum seven. So a man can go to the Bible, be preaching truth, but he's at a lower revelation. You understand? So let me give you an example. Someone gets a scripture. The devil is like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. And he's quoting scripture, and he's right. The devil does look for whom? It's true. But there's a scripture that is higher than that, that says, I've given you of authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. So the congregation under a person telling people constantly that the devil is looking for you will never discover the identity that actually this chap, you have authority over him. You get what I'm saying? There are degrees of revelation and ministration which causes division for people who don't seem to understand that there is a higher revelation to God. I discovered that from the time began, there have been generations, and God in his fullness, there is no man that has known the fullness of God, and there never will be. That's why in John chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says to know God is eternal life, which means in all of eternity, you will be learning of God. Now, what God has done in his wisdom, what he did was, every generation, he dispensed a dimension to that generation and chose men and women who would express that dimension to men to know him. Then he moved on and expressed another dimension to another generation. There is a dimension for this generation, but this is not the end, because this generation, this age will end. How many of you know, if you check in the Bible, that there will be nations even after this age? And another dimension of God will be revealed to men. Very important you get what I'm saying. Okay? So, it is important if you understand that ministry is the expression of a mortal person. Hmm? It's a mortal person expressing God. More than, much deeper than words, much deeper than singing. You can express God in media. You express him in sports. Express him. Alright? That is ministry. To the extent that people around you, when they look, they see the Christ. Far more than just preaching. It's the reason why all of us then qualify to be ministers. Now, I need to give you a reason why we are where we are now. This is a foundational sharing. In the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned. The moment that he sinned, darkness began to spread over the face of the earth. Now, please understand, I want you, if you've watched movies, you've watched some movies where a hacker hacks into the electric grid of a city and shuts it down. Then they zoom into the city, and the lights go out until the entire place is dark. I want you to imagine that's what happened. So the moment he eats of the fruit, darkness spreads. That's why scripture says, I believe in Isaiah 60, it says, darkness has covered the earth and gross darkness the people. Isaiah is taken back. He's not referring to a future event or something that's happened. He's saying, the moment Adam ate of a fruit, darkness covered the earth and gross darkness the people. Alright? But then the next verse says, but the Lord shall rise upon thee and his glory shall be seen in thee. Now, the thing is this, that darkness was not visible. Amen. So I want you to imagine it's daylight. You sin, or Adam sins, and it's still daylight. He says, surely you shall die. Yes, still here. Still here. Still here. Sun is still shining. The darkness was invisible, yet its effects could be felt. Now, you with me? So the darkness covers the earth, just like scripture says. Not only that, not only did darkness like a canopy cover the earth, Adam, the Bible says, and scales fell off his eyes, and his eyes were opened, meaning spiritually he became blind. So there are two problems. Not only is there darkness, man is blind. You with me? So there are two major problems. Man is blind, man who could see in the spirit. And because he's blind, he can't see the darkness. Because how many of you understand that darkness in the kingdom of God can actually be seen and felt? All right? Now, when that darkness and that blindness came into the earth, there was an entity introduced into the realm of men that had never been there. The entity called death. How many of you understand that death is an event, an abode, a place, but also a person, an entity? Three things. So a person can die, that's an event. Go to a place, literally called death. And then there's an entity. The Bible says in the book of Revelations that hell and death were thrown into the lake of fire. So death is an entity. So there was an entity introduced into the realm of men that had never been there. In the same way, life is an event, a place, and a person. Scripture says, in him was the life. The life, that life was the light of men. Are you with me? So now, there is darkness. There's death, the event. There's death, the place. Death, the person. All come into existence in the realm of men. God sets up a plan to deal with death, the event. Death, the place. And death, the person. But he doesn't set up separate events. He just sends one person. When that person enters the realm of men, when Christ entered the realm of men, okay? He enters, scripture says that when he died, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? So now a person could die, but simply pass through to the other side. You guys don't need that. The Lord, maybe you shouldn't be given these visions. But if you understood before men fell, before actually Christ came, the moment that someone died, they weren't transitioning the way people transition today. Let me leave it. Anyway, don't worry about that. So Christ comes, deals with death, the event. The Bible says he descends and sets captives free. Deals with the place. And has already defeated the person. It's just that the official defeat is when in Revelations he's thrown into the lake of fire. You're with me? I'm getting somewhere with this. So, there's this entity that exists that enters the realm. There's darkness over the earth. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Give me that scripture. Luke 4 and verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to captives and recovering of sight to the blind. You understand what I'm saying? This earth, the moment the darkness was over it, it became a prison. That's why they referred to as prisoners. Another version said he set the prisoners free. Are you with me? I'm heading somewhere with this. The moment the darkness covered the earth, spirits began to take place all over the earth and began to confine territories to themselves. That had never happened. Please understand that there was Eden, then there was the Garden of Eden in Eden. Eden meaning presence. Now, man is cast out of the Garden of Eden, but he's still in Eden. Yeah. Huh? It's the reason why Eden is what? Presence. It's the reason why Cain could God could still come to Cain. You're still in Eden. Then the Bible says, after he kills his brother, he leaves and starts a city of his own. You get what I'm saying? Eh? So, there's Eden, the rest of the world. If you've listened to a podcast I gave, I said that, you see, if God says, go forth, dominate, there must be something you're dominating. You don't dominate plants. Huh? There must be something that is trying to confront that you take over. So these spirits came and began to take territories for themselves. Paul describes those spirits in Ephesians chapter 6:12. He says principalities, powers. He talks about rulers of darkness, this age, and talks of spiritual wickedness in high places. Each took their place in their territory. Huh? Now, a principality focuses on taking a territory. He chooses a territory and says, this is mine. He sets up. Right after him comes a power, then comes a ruler of darkness in this age, and then a spiritual wickedness in high places. Each, all those four exist within a territory. They began to take place the moment that Adam sinned. Now please understand, as men began to increase, in order for a principality to have a territory, he has to come to a person in authority. He doesn't just say, this is mine, yo. Because this earth was given to men. You're with me? So he comes to a person in authority, and if he sees the person is gifted, often if he has a prophetic or a call upon his life, if he's a seer, if he can see into the realms of the spirit, those are the ones they choose. He appears to him. Then he says, I'm getting somewhere with this, please. Eh? Then he says, I'm willing to give you this if you give me this territory. He appears to that person because that person is gifted in seeing. Eh? Yeah. So not just any random person. When he appears to that person, if he's in a place of authority, then automatically gives the territory to the person. If there is no person with a place of authority, the principality raises up its own person. So looks for a person from the time they're a child. Eh? I'm a teacher, I have to teach you these things. Because you have authority over them, and I have to explain this. So, what he does then, gets a person from the time he's a child, owns him, until he gets to a place where, through trickery, he's in a place of position of authority. It's what happens around the world now. It's how some people are leaders. The devil plans years, thousands of years ahead, picks a person, puts him in power, he becomes president, and he says, oh, huh? Make, let's say, you know those quotes. Uganda, they don't have mottos for presidents. Eh? They don't have, secure. Okay, let me secure your future. It's actually God who secures the future. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans? Okay, anyway. So they convince this person, and through trickery, get this person into a place of authority. When that person is in a place of authority, that principality then ensures that that person convinces people in other places of authority to agree. Once they agree, that's when a power comes in. A power is a spirit that enslaves people. So someone is stuck, and really, this is going to end with more light, not darkness. But so the people within the territory find themselves stuck within the territory, but doing certain things without understanding why they're doing them. There's a BBC documentary I watched of a guy who went to a certain area in South Africa where guys are just raping women. They just rape. You ask the guy why? I don't know why. I just want to. You understand? And I watched this video and I said, my God, what's, and you know, he's being videotaped. He's asked this. He said, yeah, this is how we do it. There is a principality, and a power took place and enslaved the minds of people. After, and I have to summarize this, after power has enslaved, the rulers of darkness come in. Rulers of darkness set the laws of the territory. So in other words, every month, slaughter a cow. Huh? Every whatsoever, bring this. When a child is born, do this. They set the laws of the territory in order to keep the principality there. Then the spiritual wickedness in high places finally come, and their aim is to transfer their nature. When they transfer their nature in the people, whenever those people are in positions, whenever they're singing, whenever they're acting, whenever they're, whatever it is they're doing ministry, but for the dark world. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let me tell you, this is why I'm telling you, you need to awaken to actually what ministry is, expressing a spirit. All of us were created with a vacuum that God only can fill. But if God doesn't fill it, a spirit will, in degrees, first through influence, manipulation, and finally possession. Huh? So, this spiritual wickedness in high places then impart their nature. And a person goes around and in everything they do, they impart their spirit. It's upon this basis that God then sent out the fivefold. First and foremost, to rebel against these principalities and territories. But secondly, to get the people, the children of God, and get them to express a nature of God so as to win territories back. That is what is called dominion. And so these fivefold, even before the five that we see, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, their precursors are foreseen in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, there was the prophet, the king, and the priest. The prophet is the oldest office in time. But the king and priest pre-existed the prophet in eternity. There was a king and priest in eternity. Prophecy is a function of time. You guys. The oldest office in time is the prophet. In fact, let me show you. Luke chapter 1 verse 70 says that prophets were there from the time the world began. He spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Hold on a second. Prophets have been there since the world began? Okay, let's start from John the Baptist. You go backwards. John the Baptist, you go backwards. Elijah was a prophet. You go backwards. You go to Abraham, a prophet, the Bible says. You go backwards. Noah, a prophet, the Bible says. You go backwards. Enoch. Enoch, whose lineage is under a lineage of prophets. Starting from Adam. We shall talk about that some other time. And so, the office of the prophet has been around. It's, some people think it has just come. Eh? Been around since the beginning of time. And so God now, through the offices of the king, the priest, and the prophet, confronts principalities in the land in the Bible. It's the reason he sends out Moses to set the people free in Egypt. But what does he do? He confronts the gods, 10 gods for each plague. There's a God, knocks them off, and finally, when all gods have been knocked off, the people can be set free. That is ministry. You get what I'm saying? And so when they've been set free, he then takes them to the desert and institutes laws of a kingdom. In the Old Testament, those laws are not limited to the Ten Commandments. They include other things. But in the New Testament, we now come to the understanding that those laws are written within your heart. There are two kingdoms that are in constant conflict. A man of God doesn't just fall randomly. You understand? That the enemy has his plan, but God has his. But it's important that you understand that getting a car, looking good, Jesus said, in this life you'll have persecution. Then he adds houses, so on and so forth, fields. Yeah? But you know that the persecution is also there. You can't take one and leave the other. The essence of ministry is this, that even when you're doing your art and you put it on Facebook, you know that there is nothing in which your heart is involved that your spirit does not impart. It's the reason why one person can sing and another one sings the same song and the atmosphere changes. One is doing their duty, the other one is expressing. It's ministry. Are you getting what I'm saying? God does not put you in your workplace just so that you can rise and be on top and just be what? Huh? This is what people don't understand. That when you listen to ministers, there's someone who came to me and told me, Rabbi, I'm sorry, you've blessed me, but I'm moving on to this ministry. I said, I didn't bring you, so I can't stop you from going. Huh? But then they went, then I began, I said, so I'm curious. Why are you going there? I said, because you know the things that I'm going through in life, I just need someone to minister to the things that I'm going through in life. And that's when I began, that's when I started asking questions of God. Because you see, a man can minister to your soul and tell you everything is going to be fine. If your boss fires you, God will raise you up. And it ministers to your soul. There's someone else saying, your boss wants to fire you? Your boss wants to do what? Is he an unbeliever? Yes, come. Bring his picture. Now, are you getting difference in ministry? So you want me to minister to your problem, but God is agenda oriented. He sorted your problem long ago. The Bible says he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Sorted you. And this is the reason why I emphasize, if there are two things that you need to master in this life, two things to progress in spiritual things, learn how to build, learn how to wage war. A person who does not know the master will build. Paul called himself a master builder. And you see that the kingdom of darkness has its own apostles, its own evangelists, its own prophets. They're just not titled that. Tell me in Africa who has as much evangelism, quote unquote, as say Diamond Platnumz. The moment the man releases a song, even you're a Christian, you're just sitting there. You go to your bedroom and you start doing those moves. Huh? Who in Africa? Huh? Or who's as apostolic in the demonic world as Davido? Are you getting what I'm saying? And so if you think you're going to be all kind and just, I'm just going to sing a song of Jesus, and the other guys are ministering. It's a ministry, but of darkness. They are passing on essence. That's why I say in the kingdom of darkness, when one of their own rises, the others applaud. But in the kingdom of light, when one is rising, you say, sure, is he truly a man of God? Is he what? Is he injuring our own soldiers? He has equipped us for the work of ministry, passing on essence. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? A man captures a dimension. You see, God, here I am. Use me. Fill me. And you see, as you gradually progress, the Lord begins to kill things about you. Because you see, the issue is this. It's no longer, I was telling someone yesterday that, let me tell you, let me be frank. God, if someone's a thief, they'll get born again as a thief and God will receive them as they are. They will still, while born again, and the mercy and grace will protect them. But there are things God cannot commit to him as long as he's still a thief. He will love him, he will what? But as long as he's still stealing, there are certain dimensions of God he will not see. There are dimensions of God, the things God cannot commit to him. You must die. That's why a murderer in scripture, Paul, calls himself one actually. Then he says, he calls himself the greatest of sinners. We used to have a friend back in school, he said, man, I've done many things, but Castor Paul called himself the greatest of sinners. Paul called himself the greatest of sinners. So that one, that title is taken. But so in essence, Paul, God gradually, if you read the letters, one day I'll show you that for one, in Romans, he says, the thing I want to do, I do not do. The thing that I don't want to do, I do. He's fighting. But then in Philippians, years later, he says, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. Just even bringing perfection into the statement, man of God, it is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Ministry, this earth, the dimension that we need now, this, you need to understand. Many people don't, I laugh. Because if you're going to preach English, you're going to be you know that you can be eloquent and not know spiritual language. And the room is full, but in the spirit, you're registered on zero. And you're born again, and you go before the Lord. I was telling someone the other day that, listen, this race is not for the swift. If someone calls himself a prophet, and they were called to be a businessman, they will run a race, be efficient, quote unquote, in it. But you see, Speed doesn't matter if you're on the wrong road. So you sit there. That's why you need to discern. Oh, they've left me. Me, life is not shifting. You're on your place. You're moving step by step. The person is in speed. But speed doesn't matter if a person is on the wrong road. Reach there and the Lord says, but that's not your call. I said last week that God is not going to lower his hand in dealing with you until he perfects that is inside you. And it's for this reason that I need you to understand that in the Old Testament, the precursors of these fivefold were in the Old Testament, in their nature. And I told you this is foundational. And so, Abraham was a prophet, but was apostolic because he started something brand new, a nation. So he's an apostolic prophet. Jonah was an evangelistic prophet. Are you with me? If you look through scripture, Solomon, the Bible says, it begins by saying teacher. Solomon's a teacher in the Old Testament. I'm pretty sure these offices existed there in shadow. You with me? Moses was pastoral. All his people are complaining. He sits there, listens to their problems. He says, oh Lord, pastoral. A shadow of it. Elijah had none other than the prophetic. Only these other things. Only. And so you need to understand then these precursors were set so that even in the Old Testament, God sent men out to rebel against the spirits that have taken territories. And so please understand, Paul in scripture writes in 1 Corinthians, he said, casting down all imaginations, their spirits, telepathy is real. A spirit puts a thought in your head and you think you're thinking it. That's why the Bible says renew your mind or guard it. All right? But you see, these spirits here, those ones that put things, those ones, simple. The principality, you don't cast it. Because Paul is saying cast down all imagination. He's talking about these things that try to influence us. But you don't cast a principality. He says, we wage war. You wage war. And you see, most people are interesting because they think waging war against a principality means you go in the dark and you stand, principality, I come for you. Then don't make me come there. Then you go. within the confines of your call, when a minister equips you, he places things in your spirit that are tools that will enable you within the confines of your call to wage war. Okay? You cannot. The problem with many Christians, unfortunately, but that's fading, is that when they find themselves in a certain situation, if they receive a breakthrough, they can't seem to tell what it is that brought that breakthrough. Is it because I prayed? Is it because I sowed? Is it because I went to the man of God? They can't tell. So if the situation, God forbid, comes back, you don't know how to replicate the result because you're not paying attention to statutes, laws. You're not paying attention to what brings results. In the same way, when bad things come, when something terrible comes your way, you don't know what it is you waged war with in order to defeat it. Is it because you were in fellowship and he said, I cut down everything? He said, amen. The thing disappears. Is it because you are fasting? You don't know. And because you don't have knowledge of which tool you actually used, you get frustrated. And most people, they end up saying, you know, at this fellowship, these things keep on coming back. May have left. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Huh? Can I just give you a few, then we go, and then we leave this place? Because I'm trying to help you. I need you to understand that when you go out there, when you're sent, when you enter a territory, first of all, these spirits know. But the Bible says of Daniel that when the time for their deliverance had come, after 70 years, when the time for their deliverance had come, he was searching through scriptures and realized, we're not supposed to be slaves anymore. Now you see, God is interesting because heaven will watch and wait, even though he decreed and declared 70 years. He's going to do nothing unless a man comes and says, Lord, it's 70 years, we want to go. So if people had kept quiet, it would go to 80, 90, Go, continue, I'm telling you. Why do you not think, if you look through scripture, the Bible says God promises Abraham, says your people shall be in Egypt for 400 years. They left after 430. And yet the Bible says God is not a liar. A man can stay in a situation. Eh? That God, a man, they came to you, they prophesied, and they said, by the end of the month, your rising shall come. He said, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. The month has disappeared. Man, it's 2 months now. False prophet. False prophet. No, that's not how it works. You see, according to the book of Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel begins to pray after having realized that the time had come. Imagine one person in the whole of bound Israel. Israel that has been imprisoned by the Babylonians. One chap is praying. Then principalities begin to fight. These demons are not involved in those things. He's operating at a height where demons are not there. And scripture says the moment that is dealt with, people now can leave. You're getting what I'm saying? It's the reason why Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, the Bible says he sends them out, then they come back, they say, even the devils obey us. Then he says, leave that. Eh? I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. They did not understand that the demons weren't just coming out, because if you notice, pay close attention, when he sends them out, it doesn't matter their spiritual stature. They all go. Secondly, it doesn't matter the territory. They all go. It just says go. And they go and demons obey. So if someone's here thinking, me, demons are not coming out because I'm not yet spiritually strong. I'm not dealing with these things. These guys were just sent out. Before New Covenant set, sent out, demons cast out. Then Jesus says that don't just rejoice because demons obey you. Rather that your names are written in heaven. He says, I saw Satan fall like a lightning. That man is a principality. While they were going out, Christ is dealing with the chichap. You getting me? Once that one has fallen, anything is possible in a territory. And it's why I tell you that in a house, there are many building blocks, but few pillars. Even in the church, there are many called, but there are people that are pillars. He says, let us pray tonight. And you say, pray for the country. You pray at your level. He's dealing with a certain level that a person having built a relationship with God can now have access to. Wage war against principalities, powers. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's for this reason that you need to understand that it's very possible for a person to pursue God with all their heart. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. 1 year, 17 years. Huh? Trying to say, even us Christians, we can do, even me, I'm a Christian, I can also what? Deal with a principality. Even me, I'm what? If you have 17 years, please be free. For us, we're here for impartation. That's why, impartation. You understand? I say, man of God, lay hands on me. There's a man of God I was listening to, someone was telling me yesterday. I said, the man of God didn't have the capacity to see in the spirit. And desired it. And one day the Lord said, just get a seed. Take it to that man. And he sowed. After sowing, he was seeing names on people's what? I have so much to say. But it's important you understand that when we equip you, we put tools in your spirit in the confines of your call. Amongst those tools, the first weapon you need to learn, just free of charge, first weapon is grace. Grace means that there's a hedge that was put around you the moment you got born again. And there are certain things that will never come your way. Now, that when someone will say, but what about what I'm going through? It could be worse. I just need to let you know. Because if you're a Christian born again, and because the Bible says in Exodus 14:14, I will fight your fights. Are you with me? Scripture goes on to say, when the enemy comes against you like a flood, I'll raise a standard against him. That's grace. A person has entered into a certain place in God. Yes, you're born again. There's a hedge. There are things that cannot come your way. Irrespective of how bad your thing is, it could have been. That's one. So by grace, there's a place, just by default grace, certain things are fought for you. You're going to see that when you reach in heavenlies, when you reach in, you stand before God and your life is put before you. And I've taught you before that there is a natural life, but there's a spiritual life, a spiritual history that you might not know about. That one day as you were sleeping, a snake came into the house, an angel appeared and stepped on it. That you woke up and said, I had a nice dream. There is a story you're yet to understand. But even in this time and age, a man can enter into God and be shown his history. We'll talk about that. So, there's a grace by default that wages war for you. Which brings me, secondly, to when you're involved in the war, in a battle, your position in the heart. Never approach any scenario from the position of defeat. Always approach from the position of victory. Now, let me explain what that means, because you've heard that, but you might not understand what I'm talking about. You see, when a person tells me, Rabbi, I had a dream, and in that dream, the devil came, and then, man, I was so scared, but then we were fighting. No, we're not here to contend. You've already won. Are you getting what I'm saying? Until that settles in your heart, that every circumstance, any circumstance that comes, you're already starting from victory. Once that settles, you've won the battle. When a person is saying, man, now let me go and contend with the devil. I need my wife back. I need my wife. Who told you don't already have her? You see, now, that's it's seeing the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you a deep secret. When the enemy attacks, he has nothing in you. He can only manipulate circumstance. And so if in you remains calm, circumstance cannot shake you. Please understand that. Everything the enemy does is outside. Everything God does is inside. The understanding of that then will make you realize that let's say I've got a letter. You've been fired. I can physically see it. They're on the inside. Jesus said, the prince of darkness cometh, but he finds nothing in me. You can shake the outside all you want. Victory. I wish I had time. I would give you as many as possible. They're tools. Because this is just a foundation. Because we're going to be teaching on actually the importance of the ministers. The fivefold. Then we go deeper into what you can do as a minister. Huh? Because the position of victory is important. But there's a place where giving is a war. Is a place of waging war. In the Old Testament, in the times of Jesus. No, actually, Father, times of Solomon. When guys were going out to war, the army would go. But people who are incapacitated, people who are unable to go to battle, women and children and people are incapacitated, the way they involve themselves in the war is by giving. And so the priests would go around and they would give their gold, they would give their what. And the understanding was, in my giving, I'm adding numbers to the spiritual army. Amen. And so when they won physically the battle, they couldn't come home and say, for you, just sitting here doing nothing. They say, without you, we would not have won. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why someone came to me, told me, I'm having this issue, what should I do? I says, go get a seed. I call it a seed of destiny. This is not just your random seed. You go, you pick it, make sure it is sacrificial. You attach your situation to it and sow it. Seeds of destiny. Now, I don't want to go into finances, but the thing is this. Learn when you sow in faith for a situation. Sow once. Unless you didn't sow in faith. No, let's be serious. So now my marriage. My marriage. You're now sowing bread. Huh? And the Lord watches you. Unless the seed you sowed was not in faith. Let's be serious. I looked in scripture. I did not see anywhere where someone sowed twice for the same thing. From cover to cover. You guys do your own stuff. Huh? And so, if a seed is sowed in faith, in destiny, a destiny seed, you sow it. If someone's marriage, for example, is falling apart, if the person has fallen off the wagon, should I share? Yeah. Let me use another example. Let's say you're losing your job, huh? And you sow a seed of destiny. When you sow it, either everything becomes worse so that you can be fired and get a better job, or everything becomes better and you get promoted. There is no stagnation with a seed of destiny. It's not there. And so when you sow it, prepare. The moment you see things get worse, victory. And so the things are just getting worse, Rabbi. Things are getting worse, Rabbi. This is why I need you to understand. We equip you for the work of ministry. Ministry in its stress is expressing God, but putting within your spirit the tools that are necessary to wage war and win back territories. Territories are not just physical, they are virtual. When you go on Facebook, you see Davido is doing this, you say, but you know what, I'm tired of this Davido chap. Even me now, I'm starting my own thing. And you see, you start slowly, but you take it as seriously because they're excellent in their world. Excellent in their world. I'm telling you, we are reaching the very apex of darkness and light, fighting each other. We look confused, but the thing is that we have the stronger person on our side. That's the only thing that keeps us, otherwise... But we have the stronger person as. So in all our confusion, the Lord does something mighty out of it. Praise the Lord. There is an army, a church that is arising. You are more than just a congregant. You are a soldier. Are you with me? Are you with me? I was telling someone as I wind up, God, I was telling someone that you see, if you read through scripture, Jesus was born into the old covenant, did miracles in the old covenant, died in the old covenant, resurrected in the new. It's the reason why you begin to understand that there are times he makes statements that don't seem to make sense. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 10, give me verse 9 quickly, chapter 10 verse 9, verse 6 actually, I think it's verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go back to verse 5. So Jesus is sending out these guys. He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Verse 6. And he says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's telling his disciples, don't go to those Gentiles. All right? So someone, somewhere out there, there's a preacher saying, or someone, an unbeliever, trying to prove that this gospel stuff is a waste of time, because you see, Jesus said, don't go to the Gentiles. That's a statement meant, said before death. Because later, the same writer in Matthew 28, 19, Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so you need to understand that there are dimensions of things, mysteries, there are levels of revelation. And as a person enters deeper into God, there are certain secrets that are unlocked and there are operations you get access to. It's the reason why, for example, worry died in me. And you know, no one knows their husbands more than their wives. Eh? Huh? Huh? But one thing, you can have many faults, but for me, worry learned to master the victory thing. Lord, you're the one who made me shift here. If rent is not here, either the guy gives me the house, either someone walks up to me, but your word cannot fall to the God, you promised me a husband. Huh? No one is approaching me. Huh? Maybe because there's a glory that only he can be attracted to. You don't say, Banangi, guys are not coming. You're not coming. What is happening? Am I ugly? Am I what? God does not make ugly things. Praise the Lord. When your season comes, you must learn to wage a good warfare.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.